heard many ideas and proposals floated about for ways to rebuild Detroit, to help it back from the depths of bankruptcy. But there has been one group, it could be argued, that's been overlooked in these conversations, the LGBTQ community. And that is quite an oversight, considering that, as my next guest writes in Slate, gays and lesbians are known to be drivers of gentrification. And as the CEO and president of the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation says about Detroit, bring on more gentrification. Joining me is Ross Benish, journalist and researcher. His piece for Slate is entitled "The Latest Plan to Save Detroit, Build a Gay Neighborhood." Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me, Cindy.
And we're joined by Curtis Lipscomb, who's executive director of KIC. It's the Center for LGBTQ African Americans in Detroit. Curtis, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Cindy, for having me.
Good to have you both. Ross, I want to ask you about your piece in Slate. Tell us how you think building a gay neighborhood in Detroit could help save the city.
Well, I'd say the word save is a little bit overstating. I know that was in the headline, but I don't want to come off as if building a neighborhood is just going to fix all the problems. But I do think it would be a good step in the right direction, mostly because of what's happened in other cities where LGBT folks are drivers of gentrification. It's happened in Chicago, notably in Boys Town, Washington, D.C., and DuPont Circle, also in Shaw, Logan Circle, in New Orleans, New York City, San Francisco. And the thing is that when you have a city that has poor public school systems, high crime, but also offers authenticity and artistic things, it lends itself to attracting LGBT folks. And a lot of that has to do with a less likelihood of having children. So Detroit, I would say, wants to bring in any citizens it can who are going to have jobs, who are going to pay taxes to help increase the city's revenue. And the LGBT community is an opportunity because, as Gary Gates from UCLA notes, LGBT couples, are about 20% of them right now are raising children. And if you look at straight couples, it's over 40%. So, a straight adult couple is going to be more than twice as likely to be sensitive to school district. And when if you have kids, you're going to be more sensitive to crime. You have less of your income that's disposable because you're saving it.
Okay.
So, really, it's a demographic that the city has a chance to bring in that can. It's not going to be waves and waves of people. And also, as Richard Florida notes, if you have a prominent gay community, that also signals tolerance. And that'll bring in other creative types and, like artists and bohemians that will also help redevelop areas.
Indeed. Ross, I like your quote from urbanist Richard Florida, who argues that cities that lack gays and rock bands are losing the economic development race. And it's a real interesting thought. And Curtis Lipscomb, tell us, is there now a core area of gay life in Detroit?
Yes. There is a core area of gays in Detroit, but those gays you will see during the business hours of 5 p.m. to 2 in the morning. Culturally, our identifiable gay neighborhood has been Palmer Park.
Yes.
Palmer Park is located a couple of miles north from the city border, and it has been our neighborhood since World War II. There was a nightclub, most notably the nightclub Minjo's, that we know that Madonna was discovered at restaurants like Backstreet.
Backstage and, Deli,
Backstage,
I miss
yes,
it.
Thank you. The Backstage Restaurant and other businesses along that area of 6 Mile and Woodward. But over a period of time, that population migrated to the suburbs, the northern suburbs at that.
Specifically Ferndale, right? Ferndale drew quite a few folks.
Well, Ferndale were the people that where the movement ended up at.
Mm.
The original migration was to Royal Oak. Royal Oak wasn't as welcoming as other northern suburbs, and so it was Ferndale that they looked at and reimagined and took the opportunity to make it that identifiable district.
And Ferndale, I will say this because I grew up in Ferndale, and I've watched Ferndale that really kind of hit a dry patch and has really come back, is a vibrant downtown. That stretch of 9 Mile has lots going on. It elected a gay mayor in Craig Covey. So I think you're kind of pointing to that as an example of what kind of activity could benefit Detroit.
Right. And so what also happened was that still you had this migration of gays that moved to the Oakland County, but you still had a significant amount of gays still in Detroit, and those in Detroit were predominantly African American. And so those that remained in the city stayed in Palmer Park. And so as we see Detroit move, there's this new conversation of where do we want this new community to occur. Now, there's always been a community, so let's be very clear.
Right.
I grew up in Detroit. I was raised in gay culture as a teenage boy. There was always culture here, as we know. It is a city that protects us. But we would like to reimagine Detroit in this new kind of identity, this new type of LGBT community. And KIC is going to lead that, as we've been in Midtown since 2007. And our location has been a place where gays and lesbians have always flocked for educational opportunities, programming opportunities, and special event plannings. So
it's been, there has been that core there, and I would suspect that the piece that Ross Benish wrote in Slate, kind of looking at all of the ways that this can help Detroit, will help. And Ross, you point out something that perhaps not everyone was sensitive to, and that was the fact that while Kwame Kilpatrick was mayor, he repeatedly disparaged the gay community.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's comments that I moved to Detroit about 6 months ago, and that was something that people that I talked to for this story, you know, often came back to me with, that they didn't feel welcomed by, like, the city government, essentially, and that Kwame, you know, repeatedly made comments about, like, you know, not wanting his children to see that kind of lifestyle.
Now, when Mike Dungan gave his acceptance speech for mayor, he gave a little shout out to the LGBT community. Let's listen to what he had to say.
We all share the same dreams. And as you know, and I've said 100 times, it does not matter if you are black, brown, or white. It does not matter if you are Christian, Jewish, or Muslim. It does not matter if you are gay or straight. It does not matter if you were born in the city of Detroit or you're an immigrant from another country. All of us are sharing a dream to rebuild this city together.
And what were your thoughts, Curtis, when you heard Mike Dungan make those statements?
I think that was a great statement to make, but there are statements and then there are realities. And in the state of Michigan, we are not safe. And so we're working to amend our state civil rights law so that gays and lesbians are protected in the workspace. When Kwame Kilpatrick made some not so pleasant remarks, many of us was unhappy with that. But as I said in the article, and as I said to other people, it is not the politicians that's going to move our community. It's going to be the people. And we've been in business while Kwame was in office, and we will remain in business while Mayor-elect Dugan be in office. And so it is the people that are going to make sure that this is a thriving community. Though we want the Mayor-elect's support and other elected official support, as we've had from City Council members Tate, Jones, Santil, and others, had for years. It is the people that are going to make this community vibrant.
Ross, as you researched your piece that you wrote for Slate, did you get a sense that there are specific areas, neighborhoods in Detroit that could become, I know, Curtis, you said, you know, you're based in Midtown. Where could Detroit's gay neighborhood take root and thrive?
As far as an area to look at, Curtis mentioned Palmer Park earlier, and that seems like that would be a very logical choice. And the reason I say that is because in Liverpool, England, there actually is a project going on right now that is somewhat similar to what Curtis is doing, in that there's some urban developers that are redeveloping a gay district there. You know, it's not happening organically like gay enclaves usually do. And the spot that they're doing this in is Stanley Street, and that's where the gay district historically has been in Liverpool. And a lot of the reason they're doing that is not just because infrastructure is ready there, but because there's that history and that authenticity. Earlier I mentioned that Detroit could be attractive to creative folks because it has that, you know, authenticity. Detroit isn't a place that's filled with strip malls and Chili's and a bunch of franchises. You know, it's locally owned things. It's people that have been there for a long time, people that have been through a lot of stuff, really. And in Palmer Park, since you already have that history there, I think you could build upon that.
Ross is right. We've created a survey earlier this year asking about 1,000 people, what areas would you like to see the LGBT community to be developed at? And of the top three was downtown, midtown, and Palmer Park. So we know that Palmer Park is culturally our gay neighborhood. And so what KIC did was create a visibility campaign called LGBT and the D, where we obtained a billboard right at 6 Mile Woodward that shows what LGBT looks like. Many faces of trans people, young people, old people, particularly African American. And so when you take Woodward home or to work, we know by the end of December about 25,000 views will be held at that billboard. So we're making a statement. We're saying that this could be our revitalized neighborhood. We already know we have a great nonprofit there called Friends of Palmer Park doing redevelopment in the park. We have building owners revitalizing those Abercon buildings. Our project, Hotter Than July, which we hold every year, which is our big gay pride, we've been holding at Palmer Park since 1996. So it only makes sense that once we leave Midtown, we may proceed to Palmer Park. We're doing research to see if that's viable, and you'll see the fruit of our labor by 2016.
We will be watching. We've been speaking with Curtis Lipscomb, who's the executive director of KIC, the Center for LGBTQ African Americans in Detroit, joined by Ross Benish, journalist and researcher. His recent piece for Slate is entitled The Latest Plan to Save Detroit, Build a Gay Neighborhood. Thanks so much to both of you for talking with us on Stateside.
All right, thank you.